Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio Show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Very important people here today. She's the operations administrator for Pikes Peak America's Mountain. Sandy Elliott is here. Sandy, it's great to see you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Happy New Year, by the way.
You too.
And he is the president and CEO, GE Johnson Construction. Jim Johnson is here. Hello.
Good morning. Thank you, Renee.
I wonder what we're talking about today.
Some small project.
It's this little teeny tiny project that's happening on the summit of Pikes Peak.
Right.
The much needed redo of the Pikes Peak Summit House.
Yes, ma'am.
How? So first, I have to tell everybody, I tried to share it to Twitter. I did not have any luck, but I shared, you guys did a year in review, 2019, of the progress made on the Summit House. Such a spectacular video. All of it, it looks like mostly done by drone, but I encourage everybody to go check it out to see what progress has been made on the Summit House, because it's spectacular.
It's remarkable. I go up there not often as I'd like, but I make it up there and standing, seeing that tangible thing right there, not just talking about it, really is a brand new experience. So I'm looking forward to it. The folks who did the video are the outstanding team at Windstar Studios. So we do thank them for all their efforts. We've worked really closely with them as well as Jim Johnson and his team to kind of capture this.
Yeah.
So we want to be able to tell this story once it's done. So,
yeah. And Jim, what was it like for your company, GE Johnson, to get this? I mean, what a historic build. I really design and build and all the whole thing. It's historic, obviously.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, you know, the topic of a new Summit House has been around for, I don't know, probably 20 years, Sandy? Yeah,
mid-90s.
Yeah, and I remember the first time we heard about it, we kind of went, boy, is that something we do? And we go, you know, no, that's for somebody else. We don't know how to do that. Then as reality became closer and more plans became, we said, you know, really, I think we are the right company to try to do this.
Okay.
And our team spent a tremendous amount of effort prior to the interview and selection process of really trying to figure out how would you do this? And it really comes down a lot to logistics and controlling how you're going to get things up the mountain. And then, of course, a lot of research.
Right.
What little's available on what it really does to the workers.
Right.
So,
because we'll talk about that more because I was asking you guys in the breaks, like, how do they even breathe up there?
But we'll talk about that more in a minute. I just kind of watched our team work and really dig into some of those points, and they like solving problems.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of why we're in the business.
Right.
So it was, they identified it as a unique challenge. But also something we thought we had the skill set to address.
Right.
So it was very exciting and such a significant project that is going to be seen by so many people.
Yeah.
The pride is not something you get every day either.
Absolutely. Well, and again, the whole thought, and I'm sure, Sandy, you were obviously part of all this discussion, is how do you get everything up there? Because I had heard, and you guys can correct me, I know nothing about construction clearly, or like, would concrete trucks have a hard time at that elevation? I mean, you hear stuff like that. I would assume that they would at that elevation. I mean, so you have to, like, make other plans. We need concrete slabs up there. How are we going to get them up there, right? Yeah.
You have not only the logistical challenges of the highway itself, but then you have the technical challenges of concrete and temperatures and retarders and all sorts of other things. So it was really kind of put to task to GE Johnson and their subcontractors and teams, as well as the design team, to come up with a way that, one, constructability, it's solid. It's a, you know, 100-year building, but it's also something that you can prefab a lot here in Colorado Springs and then transport it up. Because otherwise, you know, we have a 3-month window essentially for construction, for good solid construction time. So if we only worked in those 3 months, this would be like a 15-year project. So being able to do it over these 3 years that we're working toward it was really one of the biggest challenges. And from the beginning, we identified those challenges of logistics and just the constructability. And, you know, GE Johnson, all of their subs, everybody really, they really took on the challenge. And they, right from the beginning, identified, hey, this is what we see. How are we going to overcome it? But then they also provided us with solutions, and here we are today. So.
Well, and one of the things you see in that video, and again, I strongly encourage everybody to go to check out a review video of 2019. I can't imagine how, like, it looked like a concrete slab. I don't know what it was, but you showed that first real piece being put in. I mean, that had to be a huge moment. Was everybody there like, look, the first piece of the new building is going in?
That was a milestone, obviously. And precast was one of the materials, as Sandy kind of articulated, that we've discovered was going to be one of the best solutions up there.
Right.
Now you've got to transport it up the mountain. So the pieces were designed so that we could get them up the mountain. But yeah, setting the structure of the precast was obviously a monumental moment for everybody.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then obviously just the trucks getting up there, because you, correct me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but the trucks, you have to, like, they have to go up before the highway opens, right, for the day? How does that process work? Again, you got to figure out which pieces have to go up at what time, and then the truck schedule to get them up. And it's not like, it's not the Hillkind people.
We work with them.
We work really close with them as well.
But maybe it's like, I can't even imagine, like, the speed of those trucks. It's not very,
it's
hauling
slow.
Those loads and,
It's very slow, but, you know, the size of the vehicles is restricted due to the highway itself and the twists and the turns. So the precast pieces are, it kind of reminds me a little bit of like a jigsaw puzzle. You have to put the certain pieces in place and get them in stage.
And planning that whole, these pieces have to go up now.
Yep. Great. Like, yeah. And it's great communication. And then, you know, once you're up there, we do it. We transport a lot of these deliveries well before we open, pre-dawn hours, 4 o'clock in the morning type pre-dawn hours during the summer. And then 7:30, we open up to guests. We start running shuttles. Guests can still make it to the top all the same time. GE Johnson, their crews are doing construction. And, you know, the ultimate goal for everyone is everyone to get up safe and get down safe, whether they're a visitor, a client, any of the construction folks, anyone. You go through the gate, you get up safe, you come back down, you have a great experience, and it's a good day on the mountain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the new Summit Complex. Of course, you know why this is happening. Okay, the original was built, like, how
current
long ago?
Current one was built in 1953.
Yeah. It was
so
time for a new one.
It's not the original, it's the current.
Okay, so we'll get a little history on that, how you can get involved, and a lot more. We're talking with Sandy Elliott, Jim Johnson on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Yes, we are talking about all things the new Pikes Peak Summit House. Jim Johnson.
Yes.
That name is familiar, isn't it? President and CEO, GE Johnson Construction Company. Hello, Jim.
Good morning.
And Operations Administrator for Pikes Peak America's Mountain, you know her, you love her, Sandy Elliott is here. Hello, Sandy.
Hello.
So I asked you guys in the break, I loved your reaction. I was like, well, they're not on the summit right now working, are they? I mean, it's too cold. And you were like, oh, no, they are.
They're up there working.
We are working today.
Yeah. I mean, how, like, with the storm and the weather and the one thing, if anybody has been on the mountain, first of all, in the summer, there's the lightning. They don't call it Devil's Playground for nothing, right?
Correct.
But let's talk about the wind speeds that can hit on the summit. I mean, that had to go into consideration in designing, right, this new summit house and building it and all that fun. Yeah, Sandy's looking at me like, you went there. I did.
I did.
So how do you take all of that into consideration when designing and building this summit house for those wind speeds up there on the summit?
I think from the design side, everybody knew the wind was going to be a challenge, and you can structurally design around wind.
Right.
I think what was not lost on anybody was the amount of grit that is actually in the wind and what it does to different parts of the exterior. So we actually placed a couple samples up there to see how they would react
to the amount of stuff in the wind.
Right, right. And which led to the final selection of the glass and some shuttering actually to help prevent some of that. During construction, primarily the wind is an issue during the erection of the structure. When you're using a crane and the loads can fluctuate. We use wind monitors. We use our experience. But it is something that we have to deal with in the course of construction.
Yeah. And again, I mean, just building the whole thing. So you literally just put slabs of glass up there and said, which one lasts?
It was glass. There was framing for what goes around the windows, various pieces of even the core tin structure, the elevated walkways. So we had all of these sample pieces to the original plant. And so they were up there and you know, we have these companies saying this is, you know,
top
of the line.
They were coming to you and saying, here you go. Yeah.
It was all based on specs and design. But, yeah. You know, you get those products up there and they're saying, okay, this is the top tier. This is the top line. And, you know, it'll last you 6 months easy. You know, this test is really, you know, we're prepared for this. And a month later, we take it down and it looks like the frosted glass from your bathroom window.
Yeah, it was rough.
Like, okay.
It really was that reevaluation of, oh, okay, so now let's take another look at it. And I think the final product is great. We actually had all of the glass tested for winds. And so just to give you an idea of what they do, they go to this official testing facility and then they shoot a 2x4 at the window. And
do they really It's like
210 miles an hour or something like that. And they shoot this 2x4 at this piece of glass and it can break the glass as long as it doesn't go through the glass. So the glass all holds in place and it's hurricane strength test for winds.
I would say, that's what I was wondering, if you had to get to the hurricane strength, hurricane force type wind test up there. Because really, that's what you're hitting up there sometimes. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and guests aren't up there in those types of winds, but we still designed the building to meet those safety requirements.
Well, you'd have to or else it would get... Isn't the building, and you can go watch the video, I highly encourage you to. We shared the review of last year's construction on our Facebook page. Go check it out. But isn't the building kind of nestled down a little bit on more of kind of one side of the summit, kind of? Just a little bit down? Just a little. Is that the best way to describe it? Jim's like, no.
The whole thing is.
Well, I mean, the whole thing. Yeah. I mean, but the main building, yes, is nestled down. The lower level is. And then... there's a level above that as well.
Right.
And then there's a couple other, what are we calling those? Not outposts or...
just the overlooks.
The overlooks,
right. That are nestled down more to natural height.
Right.
Then your view is still up and above.
So, when you drive up, as a tourist coming up the highway and you're driving up, you're only going to see the entrance. You're not going to see
the rest of the building.
30,000 square foot building. You only see the entrance. From the COG side, though, so it's nestled into the side of the building. From the COG side, it you get to see the big glass, kind of that dynamic view, overlooking, you know, from the inside, you overlook Mount Rosa and Zeb Pike and his vision that nobody would ever summit Pike's Peak. And here we are today. But it's really an interesting, it's an interesting design and placement and a lot of public feedback on it.
Because the designs were released like a here's what we're kind of looking at. Was there kind of voting and kind of.
Yeah. And I was, when you said nestled, I was thinking of all the blasting we did and I'm going, well, I don't know if that's the right term. That was my hesitation. It wasn't.
So it's really, you know, it's really built into the side. And From the standpoint, when you're on the mountain, the whole point is to experience the mountaintop and not see this big, gigantic building. And so that was the design goal, and I think we're achieving that. So
perfect. Okay, we do have to take a quick news break. We'll have more with Jim Johnson and Sandy Elliott next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we're talking all things Pikes Peak Summit House, the new one that's being built. Joining us is Pikes Peak America's Mountain Operations Administrator. Sandy Elliott is here. Hello, Sandy.
Hi.
And Jim Johnson, President and CEO, GE Johnson. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. So we were kind of talking in the break, and you guys just chuckled at me. And I was like, okay, for real. Like, how in the world... do those construction workers even survive up there? Okay, I go up there. I need oxygen. I'm like, but for real, how do they do that? Like, do you have to have tanks and tanks and tanks of oxygen up there? How does that work? They're both
I can answer from our side.
Yeah.
It's, no, there are not tanks of oxygen up there. You want to get people acclimated. I think for most people, they get to the summit, they walk around, and they quickly descend. That's a little different than actually pouring concrete, moving concrete forms, etc.
Right.
The exertion level is different.
Right.
So we start with a pretty strenuous physical agilities test to make sure you're even qualified to go up.
It is
more than safety first, right? But you want to make sure you're not endangering anybody. We got a lot of great information from the people that work in, up at the summit already. And so we shared data and went back and forth and, you know, what makes a person survive up here more I mean, what are the what tips do they have?
Yeah,
absolutely, work together. We have, everybody has EMTs up there. GE Johnson does, the Summit House does.
Okay.
And so everybody is surrounded. It's a little bit of a buddy system, right?
Okay.
But you get them acclimated. We started, working them about 6 hours. And then, you know, we'll increase that as time goes on. We have some people that, just physiologically, their body is going to react different, and that's not a good option for them.
Right.
And you know, we'll get them down the hill. Other ones have, you know, we'll work right on through it. I will say from our perspective, the feedback I get from our team members is they're just surprised how much they eat. Just how much energy.
Because they eat, so yeah.
Well, just
like,
how much
yes.
energy they're built,
burning
up there.
Yeah.
But everybody is so proud. We have one guy that, you know, hasn't missed a day, and it's just a, you know, a badge with him. He happens to be a 62-year-old ex-smoker, which I find incredibly ironic, right? But it's so people react differently.
Yeah.
But if you start with the physical agilities and then really also just start to acclimate them, we've had a couple people have to come down off the mountain. They're having a bad day. But other than that, we've had really good success.
Right.
But a lot of it is just drawing from other people's experience up there and really
and sharing
building
that
in. You bet.
Well, and it's so interesting. Like we were saying, like, Sandy, you can just run up there and you're like, I'm here, jumping jacks. She's good.
Yeah.
And I don't know about that. But
but whereas me, we're both natives and I'm like up there crawling like EMT. real, that's me. Yeah.
Yeah, I know my little tricks for my body itself.
Right.
You know, I protein load before I go up. I feel good when I go up. And then hydration. Doesn't matter who you are.
Hydration.
And by the way, these are great tips that you're learning right now for when you go up to the new Summit House. Did you see what I did there?
I did. That's awesome.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
But no, water is going to be really, you know, that hydration factor, but not prepping when you get up there, but also after you leave. Mm-hmm. It's a much longer term effect. So, you know, for the whole day after you're done with your visit, continue to drink lots of water,
especially
if you're not from here.
Absolutely.
So, and we were fortunate. We had the folks at the Army Medical Research Lab who has, you know, that statistical data on how bodies react due to all of the work that they do up there and their willingness to share and have this conversation
with
us. So it's really been helpful for us and for, I think, all of the crews. So.
Yep.
And again, there are EMTs standing by.
Yep.
Yeah. There's medical care on the Summit, which there always is.
They're always up there. So.
We kind of glazed over this, Sandy. I do want folks, because, you know, we have so many folks that come here that are new to the area. I do want to do a quick touch on the history of, you know, putting those buildings on the top of the Summit and then kind of like, and both of you, I want to comment on the regional impact that this new Summit House is going to have. I mean, it's going to be widespread. It's going to be big.
Yes. So I'll start with the history. So the existing facility that's up there now is built in the 1950s, 1953. It's way past its useful life.
And it was so small.
It's so small. Little history note there. It was originally designed to be twice the size, but due to budget constraints, they couldn't fulfill that. So they just left it like it is. So, there was at one point a COG Summit House as well as an Auto Summit House. So there was two of them on there, both of which eventually caught fire and burned down.
Wow.
So where we are today. So,
but there is a wall you set up there from
historic walls from the original, I believe it's the original U.S. signal station in the late 1800s. And so that is being preserved. It's an historic piece. And so it'll all be part of the new experience, the interpretive, to kind of really tell you that story. So,
and see, I don't think I knew about the original two, like the COG and then the two separate.
Yeah, there's some awesome pictures of that we've actually posted over, you know, Throwback Thursday type thing of the Auto Summit House. One was actually just earlier this week.
I'm gonna have to go check it out.
So
It's
one of our guests actually shared that with us. It was her parents, and so it was really great. She sent this in and shared
the picture.
So the picture and the story, which was even better. This was her parents when they were 8 or 9 years old, or her mom when they were 8 or 9 years old. So remarkable little piece. And, you know, guests and fans and those that love my mountain are they're awesome. They send us these little tidbits that we would never know, and to share that little piece of not only themselves and their family's history, but the mountain's history. So
absolutely. And as we've been talking about all morning, I mean, the mountain's history and what a big impact this is going to be on the mountain's history. But also, I mean, regionally, the impact of doing this is going to be really big.
Right.
I mean, it's big. Does that even cover it? Big.
It is. It's very big. The economic impact alone, just from our project, from the construction workers to the final product of people who may have not been to Pikes Peak in the last 30 years, they might want to come back and see this peak. You know, they want to see the new and experience what Pikes Peak is. For all of our international guests that we get, it's really, once we're done, it's going to be a brand new experience. So people who have been here in the past, they may decide it's time to go back to Colorado and check it out.
Yeah.
It gets people, you know, the goal of the new experience is to not only talk about Pikes Peak, but talk about the entire region and send people to other places. You're up on the summit of Pikes Peak and you want to learn more about Colorado Springs history. Well, we have a spot where we send you to the Pioneers Museum. Mm-hmm. You want to learn more about the hill climb, go to the Hill Climb Museum. So the goal is to really, you know, give them a little piece of Pikes Peak, but a lot of folks can't handle the altitude mm-hmm. up there. So send them other places where they can learn more and experience more of what Pikes Peak region has to offer. So.
Absolutely. Okay, so what we're going to do, I want to take a break now because we need to talk about the fundraising update because no tax dollars were used in the making of this Summit House.
Correct.
So,
correct.
Yeah, we will have more when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Yeah, welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. So we were just talking about, I don't know if y'all saw the video, so Steamboat Strings, they had that celebration. It was the world's
Guinness World Record for fireworks.
Yeah, largest firework, 2,600 pounds or something like that.
We were
trying to figure out, Sandy, if we could do that for when, you know, the new Summit House, like.
As I said, that's not my project.
Not sure the animated guys want to hold that up there.
Yeah, they'd probably be like, no.
Let's not forget our friends at the Forest Service.
Right, so
why don't we stick with what we know?
You think they might have a little, yeah. I did not say that. Don't call me. I'm just kidding. Okay. Welcome back to The Extra, KRDO News Radio. From Pikes Peak, America's Mountain Operations Administrator, Sandy Elody is here. Hello, Sandy.
Hello.
President and CEO, GE Johnson Construction, Jim Johnson. Hello,
good morning.
Jim.
Thank you
so much for coming in and giving us all the details on this construction project. But one thing that folks may not realize, and everybody just jump in here, no taxpayer dollars are used in this project. This is all private fundraising efforts to get this done. And really, it is a community effort, isn't it?
It is. So it's, you know, private and public funds. Pikes Peak, America's Mountain, we have contributed approximately $45 million to the $60 million project. And we did that through we're an enterprise of the city of Colorado Springs. And what that means is we don't receive any tax dollars. We're self-supported through the toll revenue and the dollars that we receive at the gateway. So we were able to bond $30 million. So we've contributed that $45 million. That left us with $15 million to fundraise to complete the project. As of today, we're about $8.5 million raised through some donors that were both private, corporate donors, and we've been able to get some grants. So we've been really fortunate. And now we've really kind of pushed to, you know, the community and getting the community involved. And we've had some great community partners. Ant Credit Union, you can go to any one of the...
Because they have the drop locations there, don't they?
They do. Yeah. There's a donation box in each one. And right now, Ant is doing this really cool campaign. It's called Love My Mountain. So if you go and donate $25, you'll get a digital Valentine just in time for Valentine's Day. So really great. I'm really loving seeing the results of that. So that will run through the 14th through Valentine's Day. So if you haven't gotten your sweetheart anything, here's a great way to contribute. Give back to the community. And then King Supers, we are actually, we are a community rewards program. So folks that shop at King Supers or City Market or any one of the King Supers brands nationwide, you can go to and take your loyalty card and register our project number at King Supers. And every time you shop and use your loyalty card, King Supers will make a donation to us. So it doesn't cost.
So how does that work exactly? Do you have to go to a website or do you actually have to go to that store and then?
Yep, you go to it's a King Supers website for a loyalty card, and I will share that information with you so you can, we'll help get that posted out there.
Perfect.
And then the project number is VN, as in Victor Nancy, 950, and that's our project. And again, it doesn't cost you, the consumer, anything. just a little time to register your loyalty card to our project, and then King Soopers makes the donation to us.
So again, you go to their
loyalty card
website,
yep.
And then you put in that project number VN950. I mean, hey, you're shopping. Might as well register the card, right?
And you're going to see the Wienermobile this weekend.
Right.
At King Soopers.
Genius.
It's a big weekend.
I like it. So get your card registered. Again, write down this number, VN950. That's the project to put on your King Soopers card.
Yep. And that's it. You're done. Just a one-time registration. And King Soopers is a great partner in this. We also have great sponsorship opportunities. So really trying to help folks, those folks that a lot of people are familiar with, like a brick program where they can get their loved one's name on a brick or their family's name. We have something very similar. We have our elevated walkway, those concrete planks. You can sponsor a plank for $500 memory of someone or in, you know, for your family name. So there's lots of sponsorship opportunities. So anyone that's interested, they can certainly reach out to us and we'll be more than happy to provide them the info.
We're close. So. I'm just going to bust out my pocketbook and
thank you.
There you go.
Yeah. That was kind of funny. Okay. But
I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I'll just fill out the check for the rest of that. It's not going to happen.
We're waiting.
Sandy, I'm really sorry. I got like 50 cents. Does that help? No. Okay.
Yes,
so let's give all the information again on how you can get involved, how you can sponsor, how you can learn more. So for the stair thing like you're talking, or a brick program, they go to the website?
They can just, all you have to do is go to coloradosprings.gov/summitgiving. All of the information is there.
Okay.
There's a link on there on how to reach out to myself and my staff. We'll fill you in on all the sponsorship opportunities, what they look like. We'll even there's a flyer on the site that shows what that plank looks like and that kind of stuff. So.
And then you can stop by any Ent Center.
Correct.
And credit union, and there's the Love My Mountain box.
Yep, they can drop their dollars in. One great thing that we are really proud of is this is America's Mountain. So regardless of dollar value, if your child empties their piggy bank into that box, as long as mom and dad fill out the form, their name goes on the donor wall. So it's regardless of dollar value. So school projects, if a senior class wants to get together and sponsor a brick or make a donation, their name will go on that wall and it's there. So we're really proud. It's not just top tier donors. We really want to give recognition to everyone that wanted to be involved.
So do that. And then again, get your King Soopers rewards card, VN950. For the loyalty. Well, okay, really quick before we have to wrap up, we have a couple minutes left. Okay, what are some things project-wise, Jim, to look out for the remainder of this year?
You know, I think, as we talked about, Renee, we're actually working through the winter.
Right.
The building is enclosed, so if you can make it up there.
Yeah.
We're working inside. We have temporary heat. We're placing slabs and, you know, beginning to do the mechanical, electrical, and framing type construction items. It actually acts and behaves like a regular construction site.
Wow.
Next summer, we'll be very busy. Right.
All
the exterior and a lot more site work is going on. And it's such a great partnership with all the people up on the mountain.
Yeah,
allowing us to work through the winter. Because as Sandy said, if we just got to work, you know, through the summers, this project would take several more years.
Right.
So we work with them on when the road can be cleared and how we can get access
up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we are prefabricating items down in Colorado Springs to be hauled up.
Right.
To minimize on-site labor and everything through the next construction period.
So, and the planned finish is next year? Is it next year?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to work through this winter.
Right.
And, you know, keep in mind, the last thing that really happens is the demolition of the existing Summit House.
Yeah.
So people will not be left without a Summit. There are actually parts of the project that we've done that are already open and being used. A lot of the perma walk and things. So
that's
it's going to be a little bit of a phased opening, if you will. I don't know if that's the right term, Sam,
if you want to call it. Yeah. And I think for us, ultimately, you know, Mother Nature has really kind of the hold on the timeline.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's her kingdom. We're just in it.
Yeah. That's absolutely correct. So, you know, our goal is, you know, late November, early spring, depending on what Mother Nature throws at us, we're going to be opening that new visitor center, and then we'll take down the old and finish out the whole project and be ready for summer visitors in 2021.
That's fantastic. Thank you both so much for coming in. We'll have to get another update later in the year.
Absolutely.
Be great.
Thank you so much. Coming up tomorrow on the Extra, CDOT will be here. That's tomorrow on KRDO News Radio.